Odyssey fans. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Today on the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, we'll be talking with one of the newest members of the team, Abigail Geiger. We'll be hearing about how she got the job and her first experiences with the show. Bob, do you remember your first day of Focus on the Family?
It's been almost 30 years, Jesse. I don't. But I do remember the hiring process. I remember when I was hired, but I couldn't tell you much about that first day. How about you?
Well, similar, Bob. I just hit 27 years, and I remember the department I was in, and I remember what building I went into, which wasn't this one. I do remember I was wearing a tie. I think that was, I was dressed up pretty nice that first day.
Well, things do change.
Yes.
Got a little bit more casual around here, but we will hear about Abby's first day and much more very soon.
But first, here's the latest news. A new Imagination Station book is now available. It's called Swept into the Sea, and it's number 26 in the Odyssey universe and the first Imagination Station book in years to feature a story from the Bible.
This one's about the Apostle Paul's adventure on the Mediterranean Sea from the Book of Acts. And just like the Book of Acts, Swept into the Sea is action-packed from beginning to end. Find out more at theimaginationstation.com.
And now, let's talk with Abby about being a writer apprentice and what a writer apprentice actually is. Well, Abby, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
First off, your role here at Odyssey is writer apprentice. What exactly is a writer apprentice?
I'm here to learn the craft. I'm here to learn from the other writers here. It basically, the easy answer is I'm the baby in the group. I'm here to learn and grow and pass on the legacy.
Well, you may be the baby, but you're quite active. You're very prolific for somebody as new to the team as you are, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's rewind to before you landed the role. How did you hear about the open position at Focus?
I honestly had no idea that Odyssey did writer apprentices. I was working as a nanny while I was doing my own writing. I've been writing for about 8 years on my blog and different books and things. But working as a nanny, and I was in a job at one point and wasn't loving where I was and was looking for something new, and I came across Focus's ad on a website and thought, you know, this is really what I want to do. Like this, not nannying, like this is what I really want to do. But, you know, they had all these qualifications, like they wanted 2 years of college and this and that, and I was like, I'm not qualified for this, like... but I kind of got up my nerve and sent an application in and gave it a shot, and here I am.
That's awesome. And the biggest thing for a writer is you have to be able to write, right? That's the ultimate qualification. Can you write? And you definitely can. So for many of our listeners, going through the job interview process and getting hired for their first job, that's, you know, it isn't that far away. So tell us about your experience in getting hired here at Focus.
My experience was very intimidating because I didn't actually expect to hear back from anyone at Focus after I sent in my application. And then they asked for some writing samples and some different things. And so I sent those in thinking, oh, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'll try. And then I went and got my wisdom teeth out, and I had all four wisdom teeth out in one surgery. And the next day, I think it was right after I had gotten the surgery, the next day, I got an email from Greg, the person I had been talking back and forth with, and he said, oh, okay, well we're going to bring you in for an interview.
Okay.
And you're going to be talking to Nathan Hubler and Dave Arnold. And of course, that blew my mind because I grew up on Odyssey, and I had been expecting, oh, we're going to be talking to like a recruiter or something like that. And but I know the names Dave Arnold and Nathan Hubler. Like for me growing up, we didn't really watch a ton of movies. I didn't know any celebrities. So those two were like celebrities in my mind. So I was like, I'm going to be talking to these guys. So that was very intimidating. And then, of course, I go into the interview, and I had my wisdom teeth surgery, so I've got, like, these big swollen up cheeks and bruises down my throat from the surgery. So I look like a chipmunk, and I'm trying to be all professional. It was very intimidating.
Well, we're sorry.
It was good for me.
What advice would you give to, we talk about the idea of kind of taking initiative in that first job and maybe not feeling qualified. What advice would you give to young people out there who may feel like that?
Have more confidence in your own ability. Yeah, I walked into this with so much like, oh, I'm not ready for this. I can't do this. And I really realized that I had a lot to offer as an employee, as a writer. And really having that confidence in yourself is the most important thing in an interview.
Right. And, you know, and God has a plan for all of us. And, you know, you do the interview. And again, this is my experience too at Focus. You do the interview. And then you have to wait all that time to hear if you got the position or not. So was that torture for you?
Yes. The short answer is yes. It was about 8 months. And during that 8 months, I was actually out of work because I had quit the other job that had not worked out for me. So I kept praying and kept praying and kept asking God, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here, but you do. I really thought Focus wasn't an option anymore because I just had not heard back from them. And so I was like, oh, well, you know, I'll find something else. And, you know, God will bring something along when he's ready. And so I was very surprised when I got called in for another interview.
8 months is long. Mine was only 3 months of torture. So I can't imagine eight.
And mine was about two. And I thought it was a long time until right? I got here. And people said, no, that was pretty quick, actually. Well, Abby, you alluded to the fact that you've been a blogger for a long time with quite a few posts to your name. A lot of people try blogging, but then, you know, they get a few months in and they realize how tough it is to keep coming up with fresh material. What's the key to keeping a blog going year after year?
Obsession. I really think there is something of an obsessive quality that needs to be there, even just for writing in general, but for blogging especially, so that you keep going after it, even when you're kind of, you've hit a dry spot and you're not sure what to write about any longer. I think it really, honestly, that blog really prepared me a lot for working at Focus because you kind of have to pull ideas out of thin air. And it's the same when I'm working on episodes. I need to come up with a new idea for a script or an episode, and it's like, there's no like, well, I'll think of it when I think of it. It's like, I need to think of it like now.
Yeah. Deadlines are amazing help sometimes. What type of blog did you write and do you still do it?
I do still do it. Nowadays, because I have less time, it's more of a personal blog. And I talk about what's happening in my life. For a while, it was just stories, and it developed a little bit into talking about mental health for writers and helping writers to stay healthy and to enjoy the work that they're doing, even while it can be so discouraging sometimes.
It can be a difficult business, and you put it really well. The key to writing is you have to have that idea, right? The genesis of the the storyline, the plot, where it's going to go. And your first idea for what became your first episode involved Jules writing jingles. The final show includes several songs. So are they what you imagined when you first pitched this idea?
Actually, when I first pitched this idea, I didn't have songs in mind at all. The jingles kind of came from the team. They were excited to expand Jules, her music career. And so I had like something completely different in mind, and they kind of brought it back that way and were like, oh, you know, you can write these songs. And I was like, I can't write songs, but okay.
You learned. And you worked with Kathy Buchanan on an outline for the show. What's Kathy's process for outlining a show, and how did that work hand in glove with what you do? Or maybe you just didn't have a process yet, and it taught you something.
Oh, Kathy was brilliant. She was a lot of fun to work with, and she really helped me to understand how to take the story back to its basic elements and strip it down to the bare bones and work it from there and build the structure from there. And that was very helpful to me. especially while I was learning to outline, because I think that was the place that I really was the least experienced in. And so she was so helpful in teaching me that.
Oh, that's cool. There's this quote from comedian Steve Martin that I love, and it goes something like, I handed in a script last year, and the studio didn't change one word. The word they didn't change was on page 87. So what sort of changes did your story go through from the outline to the first draft and then to the final draft?
Oh, goodness. That quote is definitely true. There were a lot of changes that happened from the first outline to when I started working with Kathy to when I was scripting, and all kinds of changes. I think the two biggest changes were there was actually a storyline for Buck that was supposed to be interwoven with this, and that got stripped out for time considerations. There was just not time for me to tell both stories. And the second one, when I sat down with Kathy and we were working the story out, we realized we really need someone to come in and be kind of an antagonist. And that added in Valerie, which was so fun because I loved working for Valerie. I really liked writing for her. So they were all good changes, a lot of fun to do, but it definitely, there were a lot of them.
I think one of the challenges, Abby, and you can tell me whether or not this you feel the same way, is when you bring an idea to the team and you're excited about the idea, but then it goes through so many changes, suddenly it's an idea that wasn't what you brought in the first place, and yet as a professional, you need to write for it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. In some ways, it's difficult, and in some ways, it's a lot of fun, because when the team starts brainstorming and they start throwing out all these ideas, you kind of catch the vision for them,
right,
and get excited about what this could be, and not just what it is.
You have to get over the fact that it's not what you started with.
Exactly.
Yeah, I work with a children's book writer, and she says by the time she finally turns in her book, it is definitely over her 30th draft, and that idea has changed quite a bit. But again, as you said, it's gotten better, it's gotten honed down, it's gotten stronger.
Mm-hmm.
What was some of the best advice you received as you were writing and rewriting this first episode?
I got a lot of awesome advice from the whole team. I mean, the best thing about being the writer's apprentice is that you can learn from everybody. Like, everybody has something to pass on to you. Everybody's got some little tidbit that they can help you out with. But I think there was one day we were down in Burbank in the recording studio, and I sat down with Phil Lawler. And Phil Lawler's great because you just have to get him started. And ask one question, and he'll go on this long teaching moment for you and give you all these answers. It's wonderful. It's the best thing ever. And one of the things that he told me was to really embrace the cactus, like lean into this, even though there are parts of it that are hard and there are parts of it that are painful, and your ego feels like it's getting kicked around a lot. Really lean in, because that's where the growth will come.
Yeah.
And that's where things start to change. And that was really a pivotal moment for me. And it was really helpful, especially during that time, to feel like, okay, I just need to lean in and this will get better and things will start to change.
That's great advice in a lot of areas of life. Well, sadly, you did not get to attend the recording of your first episode, even though you have attended a session, but you did get some updates from the session. What did you hear about the recording?
All good things. Nathan was able to get me a video message from all the actors in the that were in this particular episode. And they sent me a video with a bunch of encouraging messages and thank yous. That was really sweet of them. And he also brought back a page from the studio script that they'd all signed for me. So that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed getting to hear from them, and that was really encouraging for me.
Well, that's really cool. And now, Abby, it's time for one of my favorite parts of the podcast. It's today's
TRQ.
Totally random question. So Maggie Beth asks, if you could choose any mythical creature to be, which one would you be?
Oh, goodness. I would be a phoenix.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, Jesse, so what would you have answered to that?
I couldn't really think of anything but Pegasus.
You know what? I thought of Pegasus, too. That's right. Like the flying, yeah.
Yeah, the flying
thing.
Oh,
there you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're fleet of foot on land, and yet at the same time, you can really take off.
There you go.
All right. So very good. Moving right along. Like many of our listeners, Abby, you grew up listening to Adventures in Odyssey. Did it ever cross your mind that one day you could be writing for us?
Not at all. I, like you said, I grew up on Adventures in Odyssey and I loved it. But when we were kids, we never had like all the cool stuff that the kids nowadays get with the club and the podcast and stuff. And what we did have was the 500th episode. And yeah. I remember loving that episode. And I listened to that episode on repeat all the time because it was so cool getting to hear like the actors and all the behind the scenes. And that was like my little glimpse into what you guys did. And I remember loving it and thinking, wow, it would be so cool to work for Adventures in Odyssey. But that was like way long before I started writing myself. And my mom would always tell me, you know, you should be a writer. And I was like, you know, typical teenager, no, mom, you don't know. Like, and I didn't start writing until I was like 18. And I got out of high school, and then I had to eat my words and be like, oh, mom, you were right.
Well, you know, it's funny how we do see things in our kids that they aren't often attuned to. Was the fact that you didn't start writing seriously until you were 18, because maybe when you were in school, you had to write, so it wasn't as much fun?
Maybe. I think I was just convinced that it just wasn't my thing. I had written like little stories, written plays, things like that. And I think it was just a lack of confidence on my part of like, oh, like this is fun, but I could never do it for real. You know, it was only until after I graduated that I really began taking it seriously. And I think that was because I was bored, honestly, because I had all like the schoolwork to do when I was younger. And then I got out of high school, it was like, okay, now what do I do all day?
You know, we've been talking about your first show for Adventures in Odyssey, but it's definitely not your last. And in fact, at the last recording session, half of the episodes recorded were yours. So I'm going to give you a title and you give us a spoiler-free preview. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. I like this one. The Revenge of Bigfoot.
Jay and Buddy take on a mythical primate and learn an important lesson about revenge.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, and you know what? Who's in this one? And this is exciting because this is one of my all-time idols in the voiceover world. People who know voiceover know the name of Frank Welker. Frank Welker mm-hmm. has been the long, long, long list of credits. Of course, most people know him as Fred from Scooby-Doo. He is in this episode. He's never done an Adventures in Odyssey before, and he's in Abby's show. And Abby, I'm so jealous.
I am so excited about that, honestly. Like, I heard that he was going to do it, and I just was over the moon. Like, I couldn't believe it. It was so cool.
Exactly. No, it's pretty amazing, the talent that is involved with Odyssey. How about Search mm-hmm. for a Sunflower?
Connie and Penny become detectives and go looking for Penny's paintings.
Oh, I like this detective story. Some of my favorites in Odyssey. And here we go. The last one here for you is If I Never Told You.
Penny welcomes a long-lost aunt to her Christmas vacation and nearly causes a family crisis.
Now, how's that for a tease?
I want to listen to all those. See, yeah, exactly.
So I've been fortunate. They're all club shows for next year, and I had a chance to read the scripts, so I kind of know what she's thinking. And they are good shows, Abby. I think the fans are going to love them when they get around to hearing
you.
Them. Well, as we tie a bow on things, what advice would you give to future Adventures in Odyssey writer apprentices?
Lean in. Really, really embrace the process and just enjoy it because you're learning from some of the best in the business, and everybody here has so much to teach and to offer and to really disciple you in. So yeah, enjoy that. Like, I loved getting to sit down with the different writers and the people that I got to connect with and learning from them. It was just an amazing, amazing experience. And if you walk in with this, like, this ego of I've got, you know, I'm the best and I've got this already figured out, then it'll kick you in the teeth a little bit. but if you come into it wanting to learn, then it will be the most amazing experience.
I love how you said that, because that's exactly what I tell students when I speak at high schools that about writing is mm-hmm. the number one thing you need as a writer is that desire to learn. I mean, you have to be a lifelong learner. If you're going to be a good writer, you have to be a learner. So fantastic advice and fantastic mm-hmm. shows and a fantastic podcast. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I had a great time.
You can hear Abigail's first script on the radio or online this weekend.
Let's hear a preview.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey, Buck has an idea.
Jules, I'd like to see you write a song.
But when the song is surprisingly popular...
The video has almost 300 views.
Competition between Jules and Valerie takes a darker turn.
You can keep posting your songs and destroy your fans' lives. Or you can do the right thing and pretend this little music kick never happened.
Don't miss the next Adventure in Odyssey.
If you can't wait until the weekend, you can hear Forrest's song and all of the episodes in Album 69, Best Kept Secrets, in the club right now.
It's available on CD and download, too. You can find links at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast. And, Bob, when might we hear those other episodes that Abigail wrote? You know, the ones that she teased at the end of the interview?
Well, all three of those will debut in the club in the next year, and the first maybe sooner than you think.
Well, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Our websites, again, are adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast and aioclub.org. Or you can call 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.
Focus on the Family and Adventures in Odyssey present the Imagination Station Books, an exciting series for readers ages 6 and up. Through Wit's greatest invention, young readers will travel to the Colosseum in ancient Rome and a longboat in Greenland.
I am Eric the Red.
The Viking.
And there's so much more. When you visit theimaginationstation.com, you can find study guides and devotionals, plus fun family activities. More information at theimaginationstation.com or 1-800-A-FAMILY.